This Shabbos, we read Parshas Veschanan, and in Parshas Veschanan we have the first paragraph of Kriya Shema. So it's sort of an obvious choice, and we're learning here about Tefillah through the Torah, to spend a little bit of time on Shema, but Ezras Hashem, hopefully next week we'll do on the second paragraph of Shema, which is in next week's Parsha. But Shema is not Tefillah in the classic sense. That's the only important caveat, the only important beginning, in the sense that Tefillah is prayer. Tefillah is where we stand before Hashem, we turn to Him, and we express ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael is Hear, O Israel. It's not a declaration to Hashem. In fact, if anything, it's a declaration to each other. Declaration to Yisrael, declaration to the world. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as such, is not a tefillah. It's not a prayer. And therefore, it's important for us to discuss it as what it is, as the declaration, the affirmation which Shema is, and try to understand within it its meaning, its purpose. And there's no way that we can encapsulate this, encompass this, the broad subject of this first paragraph of Shema in the time that we have tonight, but we will try just to speak about an aspect of it, and specifically of an aspect of it in the context of the day which just passed, in the context of Tisha B'Av. We also dedicated some of our time always necessarily talking about the Shema. In the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, there are two enlarged letters. In the Torah, letters come in standard size, and then there are some letters which are small, and some letters which are enlarged. And in the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, there are two larger letters, the Ayin of Shema and the Dalet of Echad. And together they spell Eid. And the idea behind this, as is clearly seen in the Ramchal and the Derech Hashem, is that Shema Yisrael, more, as we said, than being a prayer, is an Eidos. An Eidos means a testimony. It's an expression of our attesting, our affirming, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is our God, that Hashem is the one and only within the world. And this is a very, very important role, as you know, which Klal Yisrael plays. The Navi says that Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem Eidai Ne'um Hashem. You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. I think there's a religion which is based on that verse. Right? Atem Eidai. You are witness to me. And when we do this, when we're standing, as we are supposed to for the Shema, and declaring, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is the one who is the master of our lives, Hashem is the one and only, that declaration is an edus, is a testimony, is an affirmation on the part of the Jewish people of the presence of Hashem as it exists within the world, and is very much, therefore, one of our basic functions, if not our basic function, as Jews, as the people of Hashem, to be able to declare the achdus, the unity, and the uniqueness of Hashem as it exists within the world. We say, for instance, in the Kedusha of Musaf, Mimkomo Yifen Berachamim, from his place Hashem should turn to us with mercy, V'yochon, and he should be gracious to Am Hamiyachadin Shemo, to the people who declare the unity of his name, Erev Avoyker B'chol Yom Tamid, evening and morning, every day, always, Pamayim B'ahava Shema Imrim. Twice, with love, we say the Shema. We ask Hashem to be gracious to us, to turn to us from his hidden place, Ayei Mekom Kevodo, that he should turn to us and come to us because of the fact that we are Miyachet Shemo Erev Avoyker B'chol Yom Tamid, because we declare the unity of Hashem daily, twice daily. Hamayim b'yav ha-shemayim. That is evidently a basic function of Klal Yisrael, a basic distinguishing mark that we have as Jews if that's what we use as the basis for our Kadosh Baruch Hu turning to us with Rachmim, turning to us graciously. In a very different way, we also say in the morning on a daily basis, we have to give thanks to you, our Kodesh Baruch Hu. How fortunate is our portion, and so on. Fortunate we are that we get up every morning and we stay late every night, evening, morning, and say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we view the ability to say Shema as our unique privilege, and we know and we express that the fact that we are the ones who are Miyachdim Shemo, who say the Shema daily, twice daily, as the basis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yochai Namam Yachadim Shemai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should therefore be gracious to us. What's the idea? What's the significance of this declaration? So I would like to suggest to you a way, a framework to understand this, and that can then perhaps help us draw a little bit of the context to help us understand some place where we can plug in the Shema. The Am HaMiyachadim Shemo, the nation that declare the unity of Hashem's name, are the descendants, physically, spiritually, of the one, the person who was Miyachet Shemo Ba'olam, who was the original one to declare the unity of Hashem within the world. We say Shema as the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was that first aid, was the first witness declaring the presence of Hashem within the world. Avraham Avinu, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. His behavior, his task, what he did as he went from place to place, was he called out in the name of Hashem. As we call out when we say, Shema Yisrael, listen, hero Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what Avraham Avinu was doing when he was being Korei B'Shem Hashem. The Targum says he was davening. The more accepted conventional interpretation, which is used by the Rambam and used by the Ramban and by many of the Parshanim, we've discussed it over the years more than once, was that what Avraham Avinu was doing was he was telling people about the fact of Hashem's existence. He was teaching people Achdus Hashem, monotheism. Avraham Avinu had that role. And in assuming that role, he became the chosen one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He became the father of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. And the association of Avram with what seems to be the declaration of Shema, of Achdus Hashem, Am HaMiyachadim Shemo, we refer to ourselves as the ones who are Miyachid, who unify the name of Hashem. That, by saying the Shema, that function, that specific thing is very much associated with Avram. Remember what's described in the context of Avram Avinu's life, from which Avram Avinu emerges, is the Dor HaFloga, the generation of the dispersion, who were, the Pasuk describes, Kol Haaretz was Safa Echos Udvorim Achadim. They had one language, and they had Dvorim Achadim, they had single idea, or single ideas. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, Dvorim Achadim? Brings for Chazal say, that they were going against Avram Avinu, and they were going against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because Avram is called by the Navi Echad, Echad Hoya Avram, and Hashem is Echad. And basically these people who built the Dor HaFloga, who we understand that it was an act of war against Hashem, an act of heresy, were going against Avram, who stood there as the Echad, who was Miyachet Shemo, who unified, declared the unity of the name of Hashem. When Avram Avinu went and declared the unity of Hashem, and he in fact taught people about the presence of Hashem, he was more than a teacher. When he did it, he transformed the world. Rashi tells us in Parshas Chayesara, very foundational Rashi. In the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, not in the beginning, in the second part of Parshas Chayesora, Avram Avinu, whose wife has passed away, and now he's getting ready to marry off his son Yitzchak, that there should be an Aven and Aim for the Jewish people, a new father and mother for the Jewish people. So Avram Avinu calls in Eliezer, and he says to him, I want you to swear to me by Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the Canaan. So Eliezer has a couple of questions. What happens if she doesn't want to come? And Hashem says, right, what does Hashem say? He says, I tell you that Hashem, the God of the heavens, who took me out from Rukazdim and brought me here, or who took me out from my father's house, that's literally what the Pasuk says, he'll send his Malach before you. So Rashi, as Chazal, as the Mefarshim, are troubled. What's going on? He starts off and he says, I want you to swear to me by Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Velokei Haaretz, by Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. And now, he turns around and he says, when he asks him the question, he says, Hashem, the God of the heavens. So what's the story? Is Hashem the God of the heavens? Or is Hashem the God of the heavens and the God of the earth? Says Rashi. When Hashem took me from my father's house, and I had not yet had an opportunity to really spread the word of Hashem. Remember, that before Avram Avinu arrived in Canaan, he was not able to do it effectively. Whenever he tried, he was thrown in jail, he was thrown into fiery furnaces. Doesn't really make for a very, very effective outreach professional. But when he came to Eretz Yisrael, then he was able to start doing it. Says Avram Avinu, when Hashem took me from my father's house, he was the God of the heavens. He was Elokei Hashemayim. But now that I have made people aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now he is Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz. Now he is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Now he is both. In other words, Rashi, and we can demonstrate this if we have the time, but Rashi is not just saying they only knew about Hashem in the heavens, now they know about Hashem on the earth. But the descriptive of Elokei Haaretz, of Hashem being in fact the God of the earth, Hashem's involvement, Hashem's control, Hashem's engagement with the earth, His presence within the earth, His revealed presence within the Haaretz, takes hold as soon as people are aware of it. When we're not aware of it, it's not there. When we are aware of it, it becomes a tangible presence. Avraham Avinu says to Eliezer, you know, when Hashem took me from there, he was Elokei Hashemayim. But he positioned me, and today, because of me being able to be here, I have brought Hashem down into this world. And now is when his hashkocha, his involvement, and his ability to therefore, not his ability, but his readiness to see through that my son, who's going to be the next link in the chain of the Jewish people, that he should have a proper and appropriate wife, that there should be a manner of bringing them together on which it will ultimately be said, Me Hashem Yotza Adavar, this is something which clearly is Bashert, it came from Hashem, it's Min HaShemayim. That is ready to happen now. And it's ready to happen to my child. It's ready to happen through me. Why? Because I am the one who's in fact made Hashem a real presence on this earth. Avram Avinu was the first one in this world to go ahead and declare after the onset of Avodah Zarah, right away from the grandson of Adam Arishon, to declare Hashem Echad. To declare Hashem Echad, and to be the forerunner of the Am HaMiyachadim Shemo. And in declaring it, he not just taught people the truth, but he created the new reality, a renewed reality of bringing Hashem as much more of a tangible force within this world. And that's what we are trying to accomplish with Amiras Shema. With saying Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we make the declaration within Klal Yisrael, the Am HaMiyachadim Shemo, to ultimately arrive at the day of Hashem Echad where L'melech HaKol HaAretz, where it will be for everybody. What we are doing is affirming the fact of the presence of Hashem, but also bringing a revelation as a result of the presence of Hashem into the world. The Ramchal in the Derech Hashem, when he speaks about Kriya Shema, he actually speaks about three phases. The first is that we are attesting that Hashem is the ultimate force behind everything. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The witnessing, the testimony, so to speak, the testifying character. Another part is Kabbalas O Malchusa. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our Lord. We accept to do what He instructs of us. We're not just describing Him as being the force behind everything, but He's also our Melech. He's our King, and we accept to do whatever it is that He instructs and asks of us. And thirdly, is this idea that we spoke about here, which is what the Ramchal speaks about, that the more Hashem is present in the world, the more we have bracha v'tayva ba'olam, the more we have blessing and goodness in the world. And the way Hashem comes into the world, the way He's brought in, the way that happens, is by the declaration, by the recognition of Hashem's presence. Hashem is very, very sensitive that way. He comes where He is noted. He comes where He is welcomed. He comes where He is recognized. And the more we establish the recognition of Hashem, the more Hashem becomes present. Let me try to explain this with another step, with Avram Avinu, and with what we find the Nusach within our Tfilos, and what we find the Nusach, the text, within the Shema itself. Avram Avinu is known as Ohavi, as the one who loved Hashem. Avram Ohavi. We have a mitzvah in the Torah of Avas Hashem. Where's that mitzvah taught? In the Shema. Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem, your God. When we speak about the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, when the Rambam writes about it, in the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam writes about it in the Sefer HaMitzvos, who is the example that the Rambam gives? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is called by the Navi the one who loved Hashem, and Avram Avinu lived like one who truly loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram. One of the examples, one of the illustrations of this is the idea of making this declaration all over the place. Included in the mitzvah of loving Hashem is she'eshem shamayim yisayev al yodecha, to bring other people to the love of Hashem. And as the Rambam explains, because it's a feature of anybody who's loving and passionate of something or someone, is that they're enthusiastic about that. And they want to share it with anybody who will listen, with anybody who they can in some way, shape, or manner include. Do you know about this? Do you hear about this? Let me tell you, I want to share it with you. That's the feature of an ohev. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We declare Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. V'yohavta es Hashem Elokecha. Right there we have the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. And not only that, but the line before we say Shema is Baruch Ato Hashem Ohev Amo Yisrael at Mariv, or Baruch Ato Hashem Habocher Ba'amo Yisrael Bi'ava. We speak about how Hashem loves us. We go to how we love Hashem. The relationship of Ahava is very, very much a part of this declaration, which was Avram Avinu's hallmark and which is ours. And so we say, when we say it in the Musaf, and we speak about what we do when we say Shema, we say, V'yachon am hamyachadim shemo. You should be gracious to the people who declare the unity of your name every day. Pamayim be'ahava Shema Imrin. We say Shema with Ahava. We say Shema with love. Like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu said it with love, we say it with love. So my question to you is, obviously, Vasepis, why are we saying it with love? That we are supposed to love Hashem, I'm not challenging. that there should be a mitzvah of Avas Hashem, there's a lot to love Hashem for. But to make this specific declaration, be'ava, with love, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you know, that's a philosophical declaration. Hashem is the one and only power that exists in the world. Realize that everything must come from one prime mover, from one source. So, be'ava, with love. We say that the declaration has to come be'ava. What's the idea? You know, in Sfarim it says, it points out, I think I've shared with you sometime before, is that the numerical value of the word Ava in Hebrew, where every letter is a number, is 13. The numerical value of Echad is also 13. Okay, so we have something of a link there, and you know, brings the two of them together. But what is the essential connection between these two things? The Ohev, one who loves something else, somebody else, sees to some degree the dissolution of boundary. The dissolution of the boundary that would exist, that would mark the person off from something else. We have, for instance, the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reach HaKamoch. You should love your fellow man as yourself. To be able to do that is an apparent impossibility. You are yourself. You have to worry about yourself. We have this notion of chayecha kaidmim, you take care of yourself first, then you take care of somebody else. But as we've discussed, and we talked about a little bit yesterday on Tisha B'Av, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha really presents an ideal that we would strive for, that we perhaps at some point would hope to achieve theoretically. But one which says that at the essence, at the core, all of us are really one. B'neshama, in our soul, in our spiritual side, we are in fact one. There's no chiluk, there's no division, there's no separation on the level of ruach, on the level of the soul, on the level of the spirit. There's only a separation on the level of the guf. And to be able to achieve v'ahavta l'reach kamocha, to be able to achieve that ultimate ava, that ultimate connection between two, between me and my fellow man, I can't see myself as separate from him. Chayecha kodmin, where I worry about my own physical needs first before that of somebody else, is the counterweight to v'ahavta l'reach kamocha, because it means we're separate, and as we're separate, I, me, or you, I can't bridge the gap. But what we're striving to do is to some degree erase the boundary, that I shouldn't see it. I shouldn't see separation between me and the next. When the Torah describes the zivug, the marriage of Adam and Chava, which is, of course, the original place where Ava is supposed to exist, first time the Torah uses it, right, uses the term Ava, is Benish Leisha, by Yitzchak and Rivka. What does it say? How is it created? It's created that HaKadosh Baruch went and he created a man and he broke up a piece of the man, and from that he created the woman, so that, as the Pasuk describes, when he puts them back together, when they meet each other, so it is now felt not like here there are two separate beings, like Hashem created a man, a male, and he created a female like he did with the animals. No, he created one being that somehow separates, but then when they get together, it's coming back together. And the Pasuk describes it, Vayula Basar Echad, they became together again as one flesh. And there you have Ava. Because Ava in a certain sense, is where the person indeed removes all boundaries between them and the other. When the Rambam describes Avas Hashem, he uses the following description, the following characterization. Hovein me'ava, osik ba'ava mitzvos v'holech b'nesilas ha'chochma, lo mifeidavar ba'olam, person who's serving Hashem out of love, he does what he does, the mitzvos, the Torah, not because of any ulterior motive, not because of fear of something or desire for a certain reward, but rather, what does he do it? He does it mipnei shu emes, he does it because it's true, and so on. And that's what Avram Avinu did, he says, the keitzad ava haruya. And how can we describe the ultimate ava? Hushiyevas Hashem ava gedoyla yaseira aza. He loves Hashem, a great love, yaseira, an excessive love, aza, a strong love, ma'oi, very much so, achtei nafshik shura v'avas Hashem, till his soul is bound up with the love of Hashem, v'nimtza shayga batamid, and so he is considering it, not shayga, but that's not the right word, he's not considering it, he is musing about it, thinking about it, daydreaming about it, tamid, all the time, ki lu chayla chayli av, as if he is lovesick, that his mind cannot be cleared of the love of that woman. He's thinking about her all the time. When he's sitting down, when he's getting up, when he's eating and drinking. Yes, even beyond this should be the Abba of Hashem Belev Ayavav. Shaygim Batamid, dreaming about him all the time, as it says, B'chol Levavcha U'v'chol Nafshecha. With all your heart and with all your soul. This is what the Rambam describes. What's this person? This person who's chayli ava. Is that he can't just go and live his life for himself and then at the end of the day meet up with this person and say, okay, now I want to spend some time with you. But every moment there's a togetherness. There's no separation. There may be a physical separation, there may be a separation of distance, but fundamentally there's no separation. It's mamish, I see that person constantly with me as part of my life. And it's not even a voluntary reflex. It's just there. That's the description of the Ava, and that's what he describes as Avas Hashem. Which, of course, is an explicit pasuk. Because what happens in our parsha of Shema? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokeinu, you should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul. What does it go on and say? It says that these things should be on your hearts, right? And you'll teach them. And when you'll speak about them, when you're walking and when you're going and when you're going to sleep, when you get up, and you'll have it on your doorposts and you'll tie it on your arms and you'll tie it between your eyes, right? The tefillin, the mezuzah. What's that? What's the parsha saying? Parsha saying is, don't have any moment, any place, any space in your life where Hashem isn't there. That's the Ava that's pervasive, that completely, completely fills every nook and cranny of your being, because there's no separation between you. That's the declaration of Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is not simply a philosophical, theological statement that if there's a sun in the world, it's only because Hashem created it and put it into its orbit and started its rotation. It's not simply because that we say, oh, we know that we would not be able to move our hand or say a word without the ability, without the fact that Hashem created us and without Hashem sustaining us and giving us the ability to do it at this minute. That's a philosophical way of saying Shema. But it's not the way we're supposed to say Shema. It's not the way the first person who said Shema, Avram Avinu, so to speak, said Shema. He said it ba'ava, with love. Now, with love can mean that he said, wow, this Rabbanu Shel, he's so kind, he's so nice, so he could say it with love, but no. The Ava was an Ava Vechad. Because the declaration is a declaration of Echad, which mean what I mean by that is as follows. The first rebel against Hashem was Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the tree of knowledge. Adam HaRishon knew exactly who Hashem was. He did not need any philosophical lessons. He spoke to Hashem. He was Yetzir Kapov. He was formed by Hashem. Not like us, who are generations later from the reproductive systems that Hashem performed, created along. He was formed by the hand of Hashem. Hashem blew into him his breath of life. Hashem spoke to him, took from him a rib, and so on and so forth. Adam HaRishon knew exactly who Hashem was. But Adam HaRishon chose to go against the word of Hashem. Why? Because Adam HaRishon, to some degree, wanted his independence, his free will. Hashem told me not to eat from it, because if I eat from it, then I'll be able to do things on my own. As the snake told him, V'yisem ke'lokim, you will be like God. You'll be to some degree his parallel, his equal. Not that you're going to be the Almighty, but in your own life you'll be mighty. And you'll be able to somehow flex your own muscles and be independent. That's the shoresh, that's the root of Adam HaRishon's sin. It's not a philosophical failing. It's a desire to be separate. And to a great degree, as we have discussed together at numerous different times, that's the root of all sin. It's the root of all chet. It's the root of the sins of the Dor HaMidbar, who were taken care of so magnificently and beautifully by Hashem, and were fed this incredible angel food cake, the man, right? Was the lechem abirim, the food of the malachim, that was perfect, that was pure, that was incredibly different and more sublime than anything else. And Klal Yisrael rejected, and Klal Yisrael had a problem with it, because what it meant was life in the Midbar, where you were having Hashem in your midst, in the middle, your whole camp was around Hashem, and you were surrounded by Hashem, by the clouds of Hashem's presence, and you were eating Hashem, so to speak, when you were eating the man, and you never were able to get away from it. And believe it or not, we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with that. It requires ava, unmitigated ava, to be able to welcome that. And that's at the core of the declaration of Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is, as we said at the beginning, to the degree Hashem becomes more present the more we welcome Him, the more we recognize Him. Till Avraham Avinu, Hashem was not the God of the earth. The earth had flexed its muscles of independence and said, we're okay. Avraham Avinu said, Hashem, I want you to be here in my life. And he taught the world, he was teaching the world, not just to clear the fog of ignorance that they had forgotten about Hashem because of all the Avodah Zarah, but he was teaching the world also, attempting to teach the world also, Avas Hashem. To welcome Hashem back. To say, yes, you are the Echad. You should be the one and only. That's Shema B'Ava. And it's not a simple thing. Like it isn't by the Chelas Av. There's a famous sarcastic line that is said. Say that the best thing about marriage is that you're never alone. And the worst thing about marriage is that you're never alone. know, that's the sarcastic language people say. And it comes from this thing, you know, that Ava has limitations. You know, this person, you know, does it. The person the Rambam's describing would never say that. The person the Rambam's describing would say would never say that there's a negative thing about this never being alone, because he's chayli ava. When people stop getting lovesick and start getting sick of love, so then it becomes, that's when this part gets a little bit, that they say, you know, they need a little bit of their independence. And with the Rabbona Shel Olam, right, ve'ahavta es Hashem elokecha, that the pasuk describes, is b'shivtecha b'veisecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shachbecha v'kumecha. What the pasuk is describing is an ava that we would strive for, that we would strive for in every relationship of ava which we embark on, where indeed it's not with any such limitation. It's all-encompassing. It's the Ava of Hashem Echad. And there's only one perfect way to be able to express this and to illustrate this and to say absolutely Hashem Echad, no strings attached. And what's that? That's what we call Mesiras Nefesh. Where a person gives up or is ready to give up everything in their lives in order to be able to do Hashem's will. While, of course, you would say, well, to some degree, maybe that's not Ava. Any continue in the relationship, that's the Ava. But it shows this absolute commitment of Echad that's complete, that's perfect. That the person is declaring through their action and through their undertaking of completely, completely, completely giving themselves over to Hashem as an ultimate, ultimate expression of that. Rabbi Akiva, who parenthetically was the person we most identify with, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, right? Zeklal Gadol b'Torah, right? Rabbi Akiva was the one who said. Rabbi Akiva was the one who fulfilled Avas Hashem to the greatest degree. Rabbi Akiva was Moser Nefesh, as we read yesterday in the Kinos. He gave up his life on Kiddush Hashem, and he did it while reciting the Shema. His soul left him as he was saying the word Echad. While his Talmidim were asking him, and they said, Rabbi Akiva, Adka, you could say Shema even now? How could you say Shema even now? When they're killing you, when they're torturing you. And Rabbi Akiva said, every day when I read the Shema, and it says, V'yohavto es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. You should love Hashem with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And that means afilu neifelas nafshecha, even if it means giving up your soul, even if it means giving up your life. I would say it, and I would say it with a commitment that I'm ready to do it. And I said to myself, when will I have a chance to be able to really show it? And now is the chance. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So the Maral asks, Hutner writes about it in his own way, explaining the Maral very beautifully. Maral asks, strange thing, his whole life he was waiting to be able to fulfill, V'yahavtas Hashem lekecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. You should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul. And now he finally has the chance to fulfill it. Gevaldik. So, if you were writing the script for this play, and Rabbi Akiva was going to die in the middle of saying Shema, where would you have him die? Excuse me, that question didn't come out sounding exactly right. But what would you have it, that to have his last words? I would have said, B'chol Nafshecha, right? You should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul. And all his life he's waiting to fulfill B'chol Nafshecha. So his soul should have left him with B'chol Nafshecha. But what does it say? His soul left him be'echad. When he said Hashem echad. Yotasa nishmasay be'echad. His soul left him with the word echad. Strange. How do you understand this? So Maral explains, or Futner explains it, that the idea is that v'yahavtas Hashem alekecha b'chol nafshu, levavcha b'chol nafshu, b'chol miyadecha, is to a certain degree the human side of Hashem echad. Hashem echad is, Hashem is one, Hashem is unified, Hashem, in Hashem's unity, it's not just Hashem, there's only one Hashem, but there's also an internal unity to Hashem, there's nothing that separates Hashem within himself. There's no division, there's no contradiction. And so, he says, that b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol levavcha is b'shnei yitzrecha, with your physical inclination, with your spiritual inclination, with everything, with all of your soul, there's no boundaries, there's no part of you that's not given over to Hashem. And so when we do this Avas Hashem with no boundaries, with no limits within ourselves, we are echad ourselves. In a certain sense, we're unifying ourselves and we're saying there's not, okay, you know, part of me wants to be with Hashem and part of me wants to be on my own. Part of me, you know, I like to go to Davin. I like to go to learn. But I also like, you know, to have a life. B'shnei Yitzrecha says that, you know, in everything that you're doing, you want to do it with Hashem. In every aspect, in every facet, in every line in your schedule, you want to do it with Hashem. That's b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. And that's the human version of Echad, of Hashem Echad. Even more basically, as we said, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is not just a declaration of what Hashem is, but it's a declaration of welcome. It's really such that V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha is our way when we express that we love Hashem in every way and when we're told that we should include Him in everything. That is the expansion of Hashem Echad. The expansion of Hashem being one, only, full, filling our world. Something which can only be said by Ahava is something of conviction. And then it creates a reality. Creates the reality because when we've made Hashem that way in our lives, then Hashem will be that way in our lives and fulfill them in that sense with bracha v'tayva. We are the Am HaMiyachadim Shemo. We are the people who unify Hashem's name. Every day in davening, besides saying Shema twice, in the morning and in the evening, we say Aleinu three times. Right? Morning, afternoon, and evening. And when we end Aleinu, we say V'ne'emar V'hoya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. Hashem will be king over the entire earth. V'yema hu yiyeh Hashem echad. On that day, Hashem will be one, Ushma Yechad, and His name will be one. On that day, Atu Ha'idna Lav Hashem Echad, the Gemara asks in the Sechas Pesachim, today, nowadays, before Mashiach comes, Hashem isn't one. Before Mashiach comes, His name isn't one. So the Gemara says that it's true to some degree. Nowadays, it's not that way. Because when something good happens, we speak about Hashem as being HaTov HaMeitiv, the one who brings good. And when something which feels to us bad happens, we say, blessed are you Hashem, who is the dynamis, the judge of truth. We don't react to everything Hashem does the same way. We're not able to react in every which way, every way Hashem acts towards us the same way. But La'asid Lavo, on that day, in the future, when the Geula will come, we'll react to everything the same way. We'll see everything the same way. And we'll say, HaTov HaMeitiv, who's good and does good on everything. And Ushmo Echad, the Gemara also says, now, His name is not one, we read his name one way, we spell his name the other way, right? It's spelled Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Right? We don't pronounce it the same way that it's read. But on that day, it will be. On that day, Yeh Hashem Echad Shmei Echad. On that day, his name will be one thing. But the truth is, on this day, when we say Shema, what are we called? We're called Am HaMiyachadim Shema. We who are Miyached Hashem and his name. When we say Shema, we are, in fact, even though we say the same Aleph, Daleth, Nun, Yud, but in making that declaration, we are creating, to some degree, that peace, which is going to be the Asulah Asulavai, that's going to be there in the future. How does that work? How does that work? How, in saying the Shema, are we doing that? Are we creating that reality? And, you know, to some degree, I think we can understand that before anything else, it's the recitation of Shema, as we said before, that will bring it. It's the recitation of Shema, but not just saying the words of Shema, but saying it again, va'ava, welcoming that Hashem should be the one and only that will ultimately bring to the day, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one and only. But there's also, in this realm of really, really, really va'ava, lekabel va'ava, which is the key to not being able to distinguish between ra v'tov, between the things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, whether they are good or whether they would seem to be otherwise. And I mean this in two ways. When Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef, his favorite son, after being separated from him for 22 years, Yosef comes and he's hugging and he's kissing Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov is saying Shema. Fine time to say Shema. It's hard to believe that it's only... Oh, it just so happened that it was the time of Kriya Shema. If it just happened it was the time of Kriya Shema, Yaakov also should have been saying Kriya Shema. But the idea was that Yaakov Avinu had just passed through a tkufa, had passed through a period of his life of 22 years, where he thought that Hashem wasn't in his world. He experienced the 22 years of the loss of Yosef as Ra. Lo mahar yosem li. Siluk shechina. Hashem wasn't there for him the way he saw it. And now, when he saw that Yosef was alive, and he saw that Yosef was placed in the position in which he was placed, and that really everything about Yosef being there ended up being for the good, and he understood, therefore, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really there all of the time. So he has to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because he saw that the Ra was really Taif. That the bad was really good. And he saw, like we say, you know, eventually, one day we'll understand why all of this had to happen. You know, the story of Purim, you know, poor Esther, look what happened to her. She got taken into this house of the king, terrible, and this, that. Eventually, come to the end of the story, you understand, oh, all of that had to happen. All was really for the good. And that's a nice thing, because that's indeed something which will be there in the world to come. But you know what? There's something which happens with Ava. And what happens with Ava is that even if you don't see the nice shot in why exactly this is really for the good, it doesn't make a difference. You know, my kids always laugh at me for a whole number of reasons, but I'm only going to tell you one of them tonight. they laugh at me because I love my wife's food. Whatever it is, I always think it's delicious. And it's very simple, because I love my wife, so I love my wife's food. And don't worry, it's not like I have to, it's not like I have to rob a type. It's all good. Excuse me, I don't know if I should have brought this example. But the thing is that there's such a thing that when a person is ohev, so there really is no havchana bein ra l'tov. There really is no distinction between bad and good. Now, anything goes. Everything in that framework, in the context of ava, from one to the other, it doesn't exist. And so to some degree, this picture of la'asid lavo, that on everything we'll be able to say hatov v'hameitiv, it's not just because, oh, everything that happens at that time is going to be just good peaches and cream, or that at that time we'll discover that even the bad things, but it was really like, a shock, you know, where it hurts, but it's for ultimately for a good purpose. There's something even beyond that, which is that when there's ava, it doesn't make a difference. There is no difference between the particular experience, to call it so-called ra or taif. Because if it's there, and if it's chibur, if it's a connection, if it's coming from Hashem, then that in itself is good. And Rabbi Akiva, who as he was being tortured and killed, he was saying, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he was fulfilling the Haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. And really what he was being mekayim was, u'v'chol mi'oidecha, which is b'chol mida u'mida shehu ma'ided lach. Whatever he gives you, you love him, because you love him. That's Yotza Nishmasa. Did he know the pshat already? Did he say, oh, now I understand why I'm having this, and that's why I realize it's really for the good? It's not necessary. That's not part of the realm of ava. In the realm of ava, it's good because it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Am HaMiachadim Shema. That's the nation who, by saying Shema Be'ava, really, really unifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes no separation between the different sides and between the different periods. And that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be completely, completely present, therefore, and completely, completely visible and manifest in ourselves. Before we say Shema, as we said before, we say Ava Rabba, Avas Eilam. The bracha before the Shema speaks about the fact of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, and speaks about the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Klal Yisrael, and the greatest gift being the gift of choosing us. Atu v'chartanu habocher ba'am Yisrael ba'ava. You chose Klal Yisrael with Ava. To realize that Hashem reached us and has treated us so specially and has chosen us. And that chosenness is an incredible thing. You know, we go through a Tisha B'Av and we read about all the tzaras, and we remember and we see movies and who knows what, about all the horrible, horrible things that Klal Yisrael has been through. And always without the b'chartan, with a sense, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. And the fact that we're here and remembering it and still around to say it, if not for Moiroi, if not for the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could one nation survive amongst all the Umayyads, amongst all the nations like this? And to recognize the Avas Hashem for us, the love of Hashem for us, that they are part and parcel with everything else. That's the predicate. That's a very, very important beginning, a very important basis, to say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. To be able to make that declaration, it's not necessary for the philosophy of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's not necessary for it as, you know, one of these 13 principles of faith. You know, Hashem is all powerful, Hashem is this, Hashem is that. What it is necessary for is for Shema Yisrael as Chol Yom Tamid Pamayim De'Ava Shemaim. And Shema without Ava is not the Shema that we take pride in. Shema is HaKadosh Baruch Hu declaring Him as the one and only, as the one we want to be the one and only, as the one we recognize loving, caring, nurturing, creating out of chesed, out of kindness, out of goodness, and that wherefore we want more than anything else to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu fill our lives. And the best thing about Shema is that we're never alone. The best thing about Shema is that it's b'shivtecha b'veisecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech v'shachtecha v'kumecha. Is that it declares that we're never alone, that we always are having HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. And we want it. And we're going to stop resisting it. Like Rabbi Akiva said. I mentioned yesterday, mentioned it a couple of times on Tisha B'Av, the Maharam Rutenberg, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, one of the great, great, great early sources of Halacha, Psak, and Kal Yisrael, the Rebbe of the Rosh. The Maharam Rutenberg says something that is very striking. Once he says it, it seems to fit, you know, the Jewish experience, but it's beyond rational comprehension. And what he says is that when a person's moser nefesh, when a person gives up their life al kiddush Hashem, they feel nothing, no physical tzar, no physical pain. When they make that decision and they act on that decision, whatever the arurim, whatever the cursed people who are trying to torture him and take his life are trying to do, he is oblivious to it. The person is oblivious to it. And the Maharam Rutenberg says it. He says, you see it. If a person touches a hot coil on a stove, a person touches a fire, they scream, right? You get a little burn, the person screams. And here you had people, right? He lived in the 11th century, it was happening all the time. People being meiser nefesh, getting burned at the stake. Nothing. Rabbi Akiva having his flesh combed with iron combs, being tortured. And he's saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How does that happen? Says Maharam Rutenberg, there's this magnificent, almost inexplicable thing that when a person gives themselves over to HaKadosh Hashem, they transcend all of this stuff. And what does that mean? Isn't that the consummate expression that there's no difference between Ra and Tov? Isn't that the ultimate thing that, oh, at that time, on bad things, you're going to say a different bracha? You don't even feel it as a bad thing. And I wonder, although what he's saying is Vorim Gedolim Varamim, you know, things which are hard to explain and hard to describe and hard to conceptualize, but to some degree it's like the person who loves it so much that they don't even feel the discomfort. And when Rabbi Akiva and a Moser Nefesh who comes to that moment and says, you know what? I can't believe it. This is the moment where I'm actually breaking down all the barriers. You know, when I was living, I was not thinking about Hashem all the time. I wasn't giving myself completely over to Hashem. I was worrying about number one. I was worrying about myself. Two. But now, look, I've succeeded. I've moved it all away and I'm giving myself completely, completely to Hashem. And now it's just the Ava is full and complete. And then you don't notice the discomfort. You don't notice whether it tastes good or it doesn't taste good. What's the difference? There's only one thing which is here, and that is the connection to Hashem. And that's, of course, Taif. That's all HaTaif HaMeitiv. The experience is the Ava. The experience isn't what's happening. Isn't the event, isn't the symptom, the specific thing. The experience is the Ava. And everything else just sort of like fades into the background. That's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If there's one thing that at this point I don't have to explain to you, is why it is that when we say Shema, we put our hand over our eyes. May we be zeicha to be able to indeed be Am Hamyachadim Shemoi Erev Avaker B'chol Yem Tamid Pamayim B'Av. May we be the people who declare the unity of Hashem and welcome the all-encompassing and pervasive Achdus of Hashem in our lives with Ava, with love, with a welcoming love to bring the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So it will come the time when it will be, instead of Mimkaimai, there will be Kvaydei Molei Olam, that Hashem's presence will fill the world and fill it with bracha, the taiva, through our testifying to Him and to our welcome.